Actually, I want to start off, I want to thank everybody. This church has made my family very welcome. We're very glad to be here and be part of it. And thank Brother Mark for giving me a chance to exercise these gifts that God has bestowed on me. It's Christmas time. And, you know, this time of year, I don't know about you, I have lots of memories of Christmas when I was a little kid. You know, when I was small, living in upstate New York, or even before that, when we lived in New York City, we'd go up to my grandparents' place, and, you know, I still picture the house and the living room and the fireplace with the mantle, reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas" to my younger sister, hanging up stockings on that mantle. And my Christmas was rather unique. See, I didn't have a bedroom. I slept on a sofa bed in the living room. So as a little kid, I would go to bed in my parents' bed, and then in the middle of the night, my father would take me and carry me and put me on the bed in the living room. So I woke up Christmas morning in Christmas. At the foot of my bed was the fireplace with the mantle, with the stockings full of goodies. Over in the corner was a folding card table with a little artificial tree on it and presents piled underneath it. That's what I woke up to. My sister would come running out, and of course, you know, all the traditions we had, you know, rules about when we were allowed to wake up my parents. But you see, I did not grow up in a religious household. As I've said before, you know, my mother technically was Protestant because, well, she didn't go to a Catholic church. My father's side of the family was Jewish. They were not observant in any way, shape, or form. So for me, Christmas was about Santa Claus and gifts. I can still remember my paternal grandfather. His idea of a great Christmas present is he would take all of his grandkids and we would show up at his place and he would give us checks. And then we would go down to the department store and let about 6, 8, 10 kids loose in the toy store to spend the money from those checks. Parents hated it. My grandfather loved it. That was Christmas. But when I became a believer, Christmas changed. See, Christmas became about the child in the manger. Sure, I knew the songs and the carols, but it didn't really mean anything until I became a believer. And as believers, that's often the first thing we think of, right? The little babe in the manger, the wise men, the sheep, the ox, maybe the little drummer boy. But I also remember what Paul said. Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Well, today I stand before you as a man in Christ, not a child anymore. So I've tried to put away those childish things, and I focus on the real meaning of Christmas. Yes, Christmas is about the babe in the manger. But if all we think about is that babe and the swaddling clothes in the manger and all the pretty imagery that's been written around it, I think we've missed part of the point. John starts off his gospel with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." A little later he says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." See, here we see Jesus as God, not when he was born, but from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word that became flesh. Compare this to how the other Gospels record Jesus' birth. In Matthew, you read, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. See, Matthew focuses on the virgin conception of that babe. Mark starts out with, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan." Mark completely skips his birth and goes right to the point when Jesus is an adult coming to John to be baptized to start his ministry. Luke, of course, spends the most time talking about the birth of Jesus. In chapter 2, which my family and I like to read Christmas morning, we end up with it, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke sends a focus on the birth of Jesus. And yes, Luke tells us about the host of angels appearing and the shepherds and the magi. But little is said about the deity of Christ. See, Christ was not just there. Christ was there from the beginning. He didn't just show up 2,000 years ago. When John refers to the word, the Greek word is logos. Logos is a word uttered by a living voice and embodies a conception or idea. Greek is a very unique language. They get very specific in the words. When they use the word logos, he's not just saying, you know, a word, like, you know, four letters starting with W. Is it an utterance from a living being with a concept or a word? And notice that John capitalizes word. See, word is not just a part of speech there. It's a proper name. It's a proper noun. Jesus is the word. He is the logos. He is God's utterance. And this word was in the beginning with God. Before creation. Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, starts out with, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Who do you think was the word that God spoke? Who do you think made the heavens and the earth? Who do you think made the light that God said, that's good? Who? John says, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. In the beginning, made by Christ. I think about it this way. How many of you here have either read or seen the movies based on The Hobbit? Anybody? Couple? Yeah? J.R.R. Tolkien created an entire world in those books. He called it Middle Earth. He created lands and people, languages, traditions, but they only existed in his head and in the mind of the reader. God spoke, and the pre-incarnate Christ created the real world. He not only created the world, but the entire universe. Everything we see, everything we can observe, he created. He created peoples. He created animals. He created lands and plants. More than that, he created time and space by which we measure everything else. Try describing something without mentioning either time or space in some sort. Can't do it. See, while Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Son of God has existed forever. He exists in eternity, outside of time. I love the way Isaiah puts it. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. See, while the child, Jesus, was born 2,000 years ago, the Son of God exists eternally and was given to us. The babe was born, but the Son of God that he was has existed since before creation. Son of God appears in the Old Testament. He's usually referred to as an angel of God. In Genesis 18, we read, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat at the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground." This is Abraham. While these three angels of God were on their way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. In Numbers, we read, "And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way as an adversary against him." The him was Balaam. There are other references where we see the angel of the Lord, and there's a couple ways you can tell whether it's just an angel or if it's pre-incarnate Christ. If it's the angel of the Lord, usually angel is capitalized, right? So you can, that's the way the translators have said, based on our understanding, this is not simply another angel. But there's one very interesting thing. Only the angel of God is the one that does not object when people bow to him. You see someone, an angel shows up, somebody bows. No, don't do that. I'm a created being. But when the angel of God shows up, he doesn't complain. See, this babe we focus on, and let's face it, we have all the pictures, right? Like I said, the babe and the manger and the sheep and the goats and the oxen, and sometimes lights coming out and the magi are there, even though the magi weren't there at that time. We have this very pretty picture of a baby in a manger. We love babies. Baby shows up in church, the poor mother is swamped with people who just want to talk to the baby. But this baby we celebrate this time of year is so much more than a babe in the manger. It is the incarnation of the creator of everything. Okay. That's the being who was born in Bethlehem. Now, if J.R.R. Tolkien were to somehow be able to enter this Middle Earth he created in his head, how do you think he'd show up? Do you think he'd show up as a prince or a pauper? Would he come as an elf or just a simple hobbit? Or would he have come with power like Gandalf the Wizard? If you were to enter that, how would you want to enter? Would you want to enter as just, you know, poor little short halfling that most people pay no attention to? Or the elves that everybody thought cool? Or the wizard that could do all these things? Isn't that how we would want to enter, right? Impressive, powerful, in charge. How did Jesus enter his creation? He didn't come as a prince. He doesn't come as a priest. When he first showed up, he wasn't a prophet or a teacher. He was a baby. In Luke 2:4, we read, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him at the inn." We go, "Oh, the poor baby was born in the manger, was born in the stall." The creator of the universe came into his universe as a baby. And they didn't even have room for him at the inn to be born in. There's a great story. There's a gentleman I have a tape of. He does a one-man story where he talks about the birth of Jesus from the point of view of the innkeeper. I listen to it every year this time because it's this idea of they're all looking for Messiah and they're waiting for him in Jerusalem and they figure he's going to come as a king and be in charge and be powerful. And he shows up in this backwater little town of Bethlehem with no room. He's got to be born in a stable. He came as, imagine, the creator of the universe, a being powerful enough to create time and space and everything. He shows up as a baby. He needed to be fed. He needed to be clothed. Moms, dads, you know what it's like taking care of a baby. They need everything. He needed to be carried. He needed to be taught how to walk. He needed his diaper changed. Think about that for a second, folks. The creator of the universe, the most powerful being in existence, period, showed up needing his diaper changed. Can you think of a more humble or dependent creature? Yet that was how the creator of the universe, the most powerful being, decided to show up, to enter his creation as that little babe we celebrate this time of year. Verse 18, we read, "And all they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart." The shepherds wondered at what this babe would do. Let's face it, you get a message from a host of angels out in the field that gets your attention. They go running down. They see this babe. They realize this is Messiah. To understand the meaning of that to a Jewish people, they're oppressed. They're looking for a way out. And they've been told that a king is going to show up. Powerful. He's going to renew Israel. He's going to restore everything they lost from their sin and backsliding. And the shepherds, he's here. They wondered at what this babe would do because they read the prophets. The prophets said what this babe would do. What did Mary do? She took all this and she kept it in her heart. I'm going to remember this time. I'm going to remember these things. Several people I work with have small children. And of course, you know, it's hard, right? You're tired. They don't always sleep well. They make a mess. I said, remember these times. Hold them in your heart because when they get old, when they're older, when they're a teenager, you're going to wish for that little baby that you had to change in the middle of the night. Mary kept all this in her heart. Think of when she shows up at the temple, right? Her and Joseph to bring Jesus to be the blessing for and circumcised. And Simeon shows up and said, the salvation of Israel is here. Mary took that and held it. It's like, I want to hold that. I want to treasure that in my heart. A heart that would one day be broken by a cross on Calvary. See, we celebrate the birth of the Christ child. It's good. I'm not saying we don't celebrate it. It's good. It's important. But let us also celebrate the love that would humble our Creator to the point of dependence on His creation. Jesus had to eat. Jesus had to drink water. Jesus had to sleep. The creator of the universe is now dependent on the creation he's created to keep his body alive. A love that would leave him in the hands of the race that rejected him from his paradise. Remember, Adam and Eve, they lived in Eden. Life was good. They turned their back on God. And now the creator of that universe, the creator of that Eden says, okay, I'm going to be dependent on one of your descendants. I'm going to be that helpless babe that you see, that everyone focuses on, that helpless child. I'm going to put my hands, my human existence, into the hands of the race of people that turn their back on me. They're going to have to feed me. They're going to have to teach me to walk, clothe me, teach me until he was old enough to walk through that world on his own. Love that would do all of this, knowing that one day that race would deny him and crucify him. Not only did they turn their back on his creation, he showed up knowing that one day he'd hang on a cross for them. What kind of love does that take? What kind of love does it take to become that dependent, to be that sacrificial? We get cranky when we have to give up television. We get cranky when we have to give up taxes. We get cranky when we don't get our way. When someone tells us what we're doing is not right, we get downright ornery. He showed up saying, I know you're going to beat me. I know you're going to stick thorns in my head. I know you're going to deny me. I know my people, the people, that not only the people I've created, the people that have that special relationship, that apple of God's eye, the people, Israel, are going to yell, crucify him. And he showed up anyway. Trust me, folks, if it was one of us, he wouldn't have showed up. As a shepherd, let us wonder what the babe in the manger did, what he's doing. That babe in the manger still exists. That babe in the manger is what keeps the entire universe spinning. Wonder at the thought that the creator of the universe bothered to show up in his creation at all, much less show up as a baby, the baby we're going to celebrate tomorrow. Like Mary, let us keep in our heart the things that he has done. Not just this Christmas season. It's easy, right, when all the stores have all the settings and all the trappings and everybody's reminding you. Keep those things in our heart, not just Christmas, but all year round. We have a tradition. We have a set of movies my family watches every year between Thanksgiving and Christmas. One is A Christmas Carol, right? We watch the one with George C. Scott. That's our favorite. At the end it said, Scrooge became a better man. He knew how to keep Christmas in his heart all day long. A character created in the mind of Charles Dickens could figure that out. Do you think maybe the people who claim to be followers of this babe in the manger could figure out how to keep Christmas all year long? To hold in our hearts the beauty of the baby and the ugliness of the cross, understanding one without the other just doesn't work. As you go out, and I don't know what traditions your families have for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and time off, let us remember that the babe we celebrate literally holds you together. Without him, we don't exist. Without him, our sins literally eat us alive. We complain about the state of the world. This is paradise compared to what it would be if there wasn't his spirit still in this world. Amen. You want to? You don't believe me? Yeah. Read the Revelations. It's ugly. Yeah. and Christ is not here anymore. Thank him for the gift that he purchased. Thank him for showing up as a helpless babe in a manger, willing to spend 30 years growing up before he could even start his ministry. That would end with him on a cross, breaking his mother's heart. Keep in your heart all year round that babe, not just as a babe in swaddling cloths, but a babe that is the creator of everything. That's what Christmas is really all about. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that gift of that babe in the manger. Because that babe grew up to become an adult. That babe started out as your son before time began. That babe paid the price for our sins. We know that we are imperfect. We know that we are sinners. And we know we don't deserve this gift. But in this Christmas season, help us to accept the gift of your son that was given to us. And help us share that gift with those we encounter all year long. We ask all this in his name, precious as it is. Amen.